So this is taken from John chapter 13, and we're looking at the first 17 verses. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who had said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet also?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my head, my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you," for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Amen.
The language of random acts of kindness has seeped into wider cultural usage, with there even being an annual Random Act of Kindness Day in the US and New Zealand. A random act of kindness is a non-premeditated action designed to offer kindness to someone. Could be an offer of food to someone in need, help to a neighbour, a friendly word to a stranger. Now, a world where anyone acts, whether a person of faith or not, with more kindness to others is something that's got to be good for the world we live in. Anything to get people thinking a little bit less about themselves and more about others is positive, in my humble opinion. But as we come to think about the final one of our spiritual disciplines in this short series, it's not random acts of kindness with a Christian twist that we're going to be reflecting upon, but rather something that flows more from a deeply rooted aspect of what it means to follow Christ in our lives. And that's the spiritual discipline of service. And our reading from John's Gospel is a key one in helping us understand what service as a spiritual discipline might look like. So let's have a closer look at this passage. Here at the beginning of John chapter 13, we have the start of the farewell discourse that will run through to the end of chapter 17 of this gospel. This is John's account of the last evening of Jesus' life, although without the details of the celebration of the Last Supper, as we find it in the other Gospels. Here, instead of bread and wine being the symbolic action at the centre of the evening, which foreshadows the cross, here there is a bowl of water acting as the bridge between the upper room and Golgotha. In a scene of holy intimacy, we see love made flesh tending to the dusty flesh of his flock. Foot washing was a common practice in Jewish and Greco-Roman households for differing reasons. As an act of personal hygiene, feet were cleaned often because people usually wore sandals and the dust off the roads and the highways could be washed off. As an act of hospitality, foot washing was usually the first thing that was offered to a guest when they entered a home after travel as a sign of welcome. In the ancient Near East, foot washing was usually performed by a person of inferior status. So somebody of superior status, such as a master, parent, husband, or teacher, would have their feet washed by a subordinate, such as a slave, servant, pupil, wife, or child. A guest, though, would always have their feet washed by someone from the home they were visiting. But Jesus, as he so often does, turns things upside down in this upper room. The social conventions of the day go out of the window with Jesus. Tom Wright says, "The Word who was with God, the Word who was God, became flesh. He laid aside the clothes of his glory, put on human nature in order to wash our feet." Jesus takes the role of a slave in washing feet, just as the next day he will die the death of a slave. That's crucifixion. And as his death the next day is approached because he loved them to the end, so too in this act that foreshadows the cross, the washing of their feet is because he loved them to the end. Jesus, in performing this act of service, shows that for his followers, the social structures of status, honour are irrelevant. And his disciples' lives are instead to imitate his example of sacrificial love and humility. Being a follower of Jesus is to be a role reversal to the way of the world. Jesus says, "What you need to show this kind of love is a bowl of water and some dusty feet." Peter, the one who's already declared Jesus to be the Messiah, just can't cope with his Lord and Master doing such a degrading thing. The cultural norms are too deeply ingrained in his psyche, and so he protests. And if we were faced with Jesus seeking to wash our feet, would we react in any different a manner? The words, "No, you shall never wash my feet," would be our words as well. Yet Jesus pushes aside Peter's objections, pushes aside his request to be washed all over, which would move the moment away from being an act of humble love to becoming the main event. He pushes aside and washes the dust away from protesting disciples' feet. Jesus says that the disciples will later understand the significance of what he's done, not telling them when they would understand, but knowing that with only reflection upon the deeper meaning of his death, would the importance of this humble act of service become fully clear. That this service, usually rendered by a slave, mirrors a death usually given to a slave. That Jesus goes to both willingly. That in love he offers his life sacrificially for the good of others. Jesus willingly washes the feet of his disciples. And Jesus willingly lays down his life for the world. Jesus also willingly lays aside the prerogatives of his status and dignity. Not just as God the Son, but also as the disciples' teacher and rabbi. Human hierarchies of status need to be laid aside in order to serve humbly. Conduct is to be determined by self-giving love rather than seeking to preserve one's own status and honour. Jesus' disciples don't think that what Jesus is doing is worthy of him. But Jesus wants them to see that their motivation to serve must trump any sense of ego. Jesus says that his selfless act of selfless service should serve as a model or pattern for the disciples, possibly as a model to be precisely imitated, but more likely for us in a culture where dusty feet are less of an issue, as a model to be imitated in a character of sacrificial service. Jesus' symbolic act of foot washing brings to mind the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 2. And their reflection on the very nature of Jesus who becomes human. Their reflection on the very nature of Jesus, on who he is, when they became human. Christ Jesus, who in being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The point of the foot washing story isn't to look at God washing feet and say, ooh, fancy that, God washing someone's feet. No, the point of the story is that God, Jesus, by his very nature, is someone who will wash people's feet. Jesus was showing that this was who he was. That this was the way that God did things. God's way wasn't to come and conquer through power and violence, but to come and conquer through love and humble service. Jesus' washing of feet doesn't occur in the temple courts or the marketplace, places where other people could see him doing it. This isn't a public exhibition of humility. This is a private party in an upper room, away from the crowds. This isn't Jesus revealing his humility as a publicity stunt, but him leaving a powerful and personal impression to influence his disciples for the future. Yet, how does this attitude and character of service, as exemplified by Jesus, lead us towards the spiritual discipline of service? It can seem in many ways that this spiritual discipline is at odds with the other spiritual disciplines we've reflected upon, such as confession, prayer, fasting, solitude, and silence. Yet we mustn't be lulled into a mindset that sees the spiritual disciplines as merely an escape from the world around us, a disengagement. The spiritual disciplines are about us purposefully engaging our lives in and for God. The disciplines have an outward aspect as well as an inward one, reflecting that our faith is never to be selfish in its disposition. Despite the ways that our individualistic culture of the world is affected
the Christian faith.
In The Discipline of Services, Dallas Willard writes, "It's where we engage our goods and strength in the active promotion of the good of others and the causes of God in the world." It is, however, good to reflect on what the spiritual discipline of service, when it may not be the spiritual discipline of service. We're very good at attaching spiritual meanings to things when they won't bear the weight of those expectations. The spiritual discipline of service isn't doing something because it needs doing. It's not bustling in and seeing that job that's been undone and getting on with it. It's not about filling a slot on a church rota. These are good and essential things to do if done in the right spirit. And that right spirit is without condemnation of others for not doing them, without grumbling for having to do them yourselves, and with a servant heart. They are not, I would say, the spiritual discipline of service. The spiritual discipline of service is also most definitely not doing something because you think it gives you favour with God. Doing jobs because we feel it's what God wants of us. This is called works righteousness. And that's the opposite of the gospel. It's a rejection of God's grace that is freely offered to us. We can never work our way into God's favour. Any service we do for God is always an act of loving response to what God has already done for us. The spiritual discipline of service is something more considered, something more led by the Spirit, something more out of the realm of the ordinary, something above all no one else, or at least very few, would ever know you've done. It's service done with the attitude and character of Jesus, in love, with love, and for love. This is service without the feeding of ego, without self-gain, without a sense of self-righteousness, with no seeking of reward. It is service that is usually hidden, that can seem insignificant to the world, that's done without any expectation of thanks or recognition, that's indiscriminate in who it serves. The discipline of service is about us learning about and becoming part of our very nature, that we as followers of Christ are those who will wash people's feet, that we will be those who are engaged in acts of humble service, unrecognized, unacknowledged, Christ-like love shown to any and all. Dionysius was a leader in the early church in the 3rd century, and he wrote a tribute to the heroic nursing efforts of local Christians in a great epidemic of that time. Most of our brother Christians showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves and thinking only of one another. Heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ. And with them departed this life serenely happy, for they were infected by others with the disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of their neighbours and cheerfully accepting their pains. Many in nursing and curing others transferred death to themselves and died in their stead. The best of our brothers lost their lives in this manner. A number of presbyters, deacons and laymen winning high commendation, so that their death in this form, the result of great piety and strong faith, seems in every way the equal of martyrdom. Much of this was unheralded work, and there is still much unheralded Christian service that happens, much of it during our pandemic, where the love of Christ was shown to others in so many circumstances by his followers. In the example Jesus gives to his disciples, he shows us that his call to serve others will be worked out primarily in the routines of our everyday lives. Because foot washing was an everyday practice for Jesus and his disciples. It was just part and parcel of what they did. And so Jesus' call to us today is to do things that are part and parcel of our everyday lives in service of others. It's not big splash things we need to do. Clear someone's gutters, rake some leaves, make a casserole, be a listening ear, put someone's bins out, walk alongside someone. Down to earth things, things that no one else will see. Just show up in love. Perhaps more than anything that will grow in our lives through the discipline of service, if practiced in the right spirit, is the grace of humility. Humility comes from us caring less about ourselves, less about our own concerns, our own agendas, our own status, and more about others. If we ever think we have achieved humility, then we haven't. That's the very nature of humility. Thinking less of ourselves, sacrificing ourselves. Followers of Christ are to be like Christ. That's to be our very nature. We are to be the ones who are to seek the to wash the feet of the world around us, serving others in acts of humble love. Willing, humble love in the way of Jesus is the pattern of the discipline of service. Service in the way of self-giving love that imitates the self-giving love of Christ who washes feet and the Christ who dies on a cross. Service shown to others without anyone maybe even knowing what you've done. May we seek to serve others in love and humility, all for the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, come through your Spirit and challenge our hearts as to where we may serve you. Not for our glory, but for your glory alone, that we may know Christ more, that we may become more like Christ. Amen.